I'm Katie Masuras, Senior Security Strategist with the Security Development Lifecycle Team at Microsoft.
I'm David Conger. I'm a Software Development Engineer and Test for Access and built the Distributed Fuzzing Framework.
I'm Tom Gallagher. I'm a Security Test Lead for the Office Trustworthy Computing Team.
And you guys are here at Blue Hat with me, and you're going to talk about under the kimono of Microsoft Office 2010 Security. So that sounds pretty exciting. Tell me more about that talk.
So what we'd really like to talk about is there have been a lot of advancements since the last version of Office. We've had a few attacks, and we want to talk about the work that we've done to secure the next version of Office. There are some features that we'll talk about, and then there's a big piece that we're dealing with our file fuzzing attacks, and David built a fuzzing framework to deal with that. So maybe you want to...
Yeah, we built it out of the necessity for our team to get our fuzzing work done. And so starting with that, and building it for the last version, and then now incorporating it for all of Office, we've really made it a lot easier for teams to get into fuzzing, do their fuzzing, calculate results, you know, make sure everything's stored and in a way that we can report on it. We just tried to make fuzzing easier and distributed across the Office teams.
Well, that's music to my ears. As part of the SDL team, we want to get tools in the hands of developers that make writing secure code more more efficient and easier. So tell me a little bit about the fuzzer.
Well, we don't actually do fuzzing, so that's one of the key things about the system. It is a framework for actually distributing the fuzzing. And so we incorporate other tools that have already been built within the company or even outside the company. I mean, pretty much anything that generates files we can incorporate into DFF and then run. So we make it very easy for teams to just choose a fuzzer from a list, and automatically our system configures and deploys it on the machines and does the testing and reports the results back. So really, teams can take more of an almost hands-off approach in ways to get going and then dedicate their time elsewhere to investigating further fuzzing that they want to do.
That's great.
Yeah, so kind of like the last Blue Hat, there was a discussion about the more iterations you do, the better you are, the more bugs you'll be able to find. And this distributed nature has really been able to go a long way in getting us a lot more iterations, because now we're taking advantage of any machine that's unused. We can take over labs with hundreds or thousands of machines and get all of them fuzzing. And we don't have to have security engineers maintaining machines and doing all this setup. There's already existing framework to do automation inside of teams like Office.
That's fantastic. So are there any plans to sort of make the fuzzing framework available for teams outside of Office?
There are already teams outside of Office that are using the framework. I mean, to name one, Expression has been using it to do some of their fuzzing too. So we have been looking outside of Office as well to teams that are interested in kind of deploying the framework and using it to do their fuzzing.
That's fantastic. So in terms of the other changes that you've made inside of Office, can you tell me a little bit more about those?
Yeah, I think two of the more interesting features are, one, we have something called Gatekeeper, where today a lot of the fuzzing attacks, people send malformed files to the customer, and sometimes the code gets a little confused, and it ends up getting confused in an exploitable way. We know what the file should look like, so we have Gatekeeper, and it knows about a set of rules that that file needs to obey by. And if it doesn't, depending on your settings, we can outright block that file, or we can send it into something called Protected View. And Protected View is a view of that document in a sandbox. So a lot of times you receive documents and you don't really need to edit them, like that email attachment that says it's an invoice or something like that. So if that file is malformed, we'll send it to Protected View, and there are other scenarios where we'll send it to Protected View even if the file is well formatted. So if it comes through an email attachment, or you download it through HTTP link that points to something on the internet, we'll also say that needs to go to Protected View because that might not be a trustworthy source. We do have the ability to outright block certain file formats. So we know that some attacks happen against old code, and sometimes organizations don't even want to receive files in that format. And so we have the ability for an IT administrator to say, my organization will not open files of that type.
So in terms of end consumers, either folks at home or folks within an enterprise, do they have the ability to tweak some of these settings individually as well?
Yeah, they're all registry settings, but they can also be pushed out through group policy.
Great. Well, it sounds like you guys have done a lot of tremendous work in this area. there any final thoughts that you have that you want to share about some of the new advances?
We think we've done a lot of great work. We feel like we've done some innovative stuff. We do know that the external community does continue to innovate as well. And so we'd love to see those bugs that other people are finding. So if they can send them to secure@microsoft.com, we'll investigate them. Even if they haven't been able to figure out they're exploitable, we'd be more than happy to do that investigation and credit the finder.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much. And I'm really looking forward to your talk. So thanks for joining me.
Okay. Thank you.